In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Well, clearly, even with the strange regulations we have to follow, it's beautiful to have everyone here. And God willing, this will be the beginning of the end of this kind of strange time. If you listen closely, I hope you did, if you listen closely to that epistle, how providential was that epistle? How providential? What happened in the epistle? Near the end of it, you heard this woman who's well-known, well-beloved, has passed away. And Peter walks into the room, and what does he do? He asks everyone to leave. Then, praying to God, he raises her from the dead, and then they're allowed to return back in. Appropriate for us today? I think so. We were asked to leave. The resurrection occurred, and now we come back, and we behold the resurrection together. So appropriate. There's providence in everything that happens, and I think there's providence in that epistle reading being done today and people being allowed back in the church today. This gospel and epistle lesson fall right in between Pascha and Pentecost. They're right smack in the middle, and they connect the two. It's a beautiful connection between these two feasts. And we read in the gospel about this strange pool of Bethesda where an angel would go and stir up the waters and people were healed. There's a tradition about this pool. The tradition is that when Adam left paradise, he took with him two seeds. With one seed, he planted it, it grew into a tree, and that tree is the tree that provided the wood for the cross upon which Christ was crucified. The other seed, he accidentally dropped. It fell to the ground accidentally, and immediately a spring of water began gushing forth from the earth, and that became this pool of Bethesda. Kind of an interesting, beautiful tradition. But all this is just a quick wave of introduction to what I really want to talk about. What I really want to talk about today is the topic of certainty. I want to bring up the topic of certainty. There are, of course, things in the spiritual life that we want to be certain about, and we should be certain about. We're certain about the crucifixion, the death, and resurrection of our Lord. We are certain about God's abundant and full mercy upon those who repent. We are certain of God's infinite and unconditional love upon all people. Of these things, we are absolutely sure. But there's another type of certainty that's actually quite dangerous to us spiritually. We have to be actually very cautious about this type of certainty. Christ asks a really odd question in today's gospel, if you picked up on it. What was that odd question? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Odd, because we might think, of course, duh. Of course the man wants to be healed. And if he asked us that question, we might answer the same. Of course I want to be healed. But to have too much certainty in that answer is actually a sign that we don't see ourselves clearly enough. If we see ourselves really clearly, we are cautious about answering that with too much certainty. There are many types of certainty that Father Justin and I have seen over the past couple of months. There's certainty of others' evil and faithless motives. That type of certainty is a certainty that brings judgment and is dangerous to you. There's certainty of people's own positions and others' wrong position. I understand this pandemic. I understand the response better than everybody who disagrees with me is wrong. We get far more riled up in that type of certainty over other people's wrongness and our rightness than over our own sin. Other people's wrongness in their opinions is worse than our wrongness and sin, but our wrongness and sin causes us far more damage than anything that's happened over the past couple of months. There's been certainty over our own righteousness, which goes directly against the patristic dictum of being merciful with others and tough on ourselves. We end up holding ourselves to a lower standard than the one Christ will hold us to. Extremely dangerous type of certainty. And there's a certainty of one's own unworthiness. This is a different type. I've seen people so certain of their own unworthiness and even of the impossibility of them being saved. And of course, this despair is dangerous because we begin to believe that our sin is more powerful than the mercy of God. We're so certain that we've all learned lessons during this time. We've learned not to take the church for granted. But that certainty, too, can be dangerous. Why? How many times in your own spiritual life have you had some revelation, some epiphany, and you were sure that you were going to do things right from now on, and within weeks or days or often hours or minutes, we fall off the wagon again? We become so certain that we've turned over a new leaf, that we're ready to go, that we've learned this lesson, and that we will go forward courageously, and we fall back into the old stuff. Our certainty cannot take away our watchfulness. We need to be watchful. Christ asked us during this time, how did you spend your time? How did you live the past couple months? And we need to answer this very honestly. He wasn't looking for internet warriors who argued with others. He wasn't looking for laziness or forgetfulness of heavenly things. He wasn't looking for anxiety and fear and a lack of trust in him. He wasn't even looking for a rightness in all of our opinions. He was looking to see if we wanted to be healed. Did we examine ourselves in new ways? Did we dig deeper? Did we strive for him more? Did we strive for greater love of Christ during this time? This is his question to us today. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Certainty in answering in the positive means that we are blind to our own pasts. Because if we really want to be healed, why do we persist in sin? This is the reality. The proper answer to this question is, I want to be healed. And then we pray. I believe I want healing, Lord, but help my unbelief. Because my past shows me I don't really want it that badly. If we really want it that badly, we learn those lessons and we never forget them. But we're fickle people. We're forgetful. We easily fall off the wagon. Let this time be a good reminder to you. If you desire church this much, utilize it properly. Did you miss this building? Did you miss our fellowship? Did you miss the beauty of the services? They're all good things. But healing during this time was not absent. And now healing comes in a fuller form. That's what we need to desire more than anything, to be healed. It's good to miss the building. It's good to miss the fellowship. It's good to miss the beauty. But all of that has to be upon the foundation of wanting the fullness of the healing of the church. Don't take this for granted anymore. But in order to not take it for granted, in order not to forget the lessons, it takes work. Be ready to be back, not only here physically, but to be back spiritually to do the work. Don't be content with just being back. Be here more than you have ever been before. And I don't just mean in quantity. Of course, it's good to come to weekday services, but be here more than ever in quality. Be here in this spiritual hospital, ready to do the work of healing more than ever. Use the time more wisely than ever before. I'll be honest with you, Father Justin and I are very, very happy with how the vast majority of you have dealt with this time. So many people have texted and emailed us and said, Father, this is tough, but this has really pointed out a lot of my shortcomings. It's pointed out a lot of the issues of my family. It's pointed out my own spiritual lack of zeal. Now we need to do the work to embed those lessons deep within our hearts so that they're not so easily lost like all these other past lessons we've learned. Work to be healed by saying, I'm going to force my attention on the hymns and services and gospel lesson more than ever before. I will not let my attention waver the way it used to. Work to be healed and saying, I'm going to volunteer my time and my efforts more in this parish to clean, to help on the food teams, etc. Work to be healed to say, I'm going to be more serious about confessing each and every month, and I'm going to give each and every confession more serious and thoughtful preparation. Work to be healed by saying, I'm going to get to know more people and I'm going to joyfully seek opportunities to serve my fellow parishioners, to visit the sick, to help struggling mothers by babysitting. We've been apart, we're going to be together more than ever, and we're going to be together with the same purpose of being healed. Christ asks you here and now, do you want to be healed? It's our job to make sure that our yes is really a yes. Knowing that for it to be so, it's going to take a bloody struggle. It's going to take a violent and bloody struggle. But this is exactly why we have the church. The struggle's worth it. So seek the strength from Christ in all things. Seek his strength, seek his love, and be honest with yourself. Don't lose these lessons. If you just leave them be, they're going to go away on their own. But if you work to keep these lessons alive, if you work to keep yourself spiritually uplifted, if you work to keep up your zeal, those lessons will be deeply embedded. Eventually, they'll become habit, and they'll become who you actually are. Strive after that healing every day. That's the purpose of all of this. Christ is risen.